Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nice to have you right with us here on Close Up Talk Radio once again. You know, I often say we talk to some amazing people on these broadcasts, and it's kind of it's amazing to me. I love doing shows like this and talking to the interesting people that come on these broadcasts. Today is one of those, especially. We're going to talk to a coach. As you know, we talk to a lot of coaches, but we're going to talk to a coach who has a really, really unusual background. His story kind of should be a movie. I'll talk about his coaching, but his background before he actually became a coach is the fact that he served his country for 24 years undercover as a CIA agent. He traveled to over 75 different countries, all 50 U.S. states, lived abroad for some 18 years, and had to adapt every two or three years to constantly shifting global locations, cultures, work environments, teams, and leadership paradigms. It's a story like that, and this is the kind of story you don't hear very often. As a CIA operative for 24 years, he lived deep undercover, developing relationships with potential intelligence assets. That's really the fascinating part of his story, but there's a whole other part of his story which is really amazing, too. And it's amazing that he's willing to talk about it, and that's part of it. He actually lived two covers because he was a gay Mormon man in the closet to everyone, including his wife and three children. And as he puts it, he was pretending to be someone he wasn't for work, but then he would come home and pretend to be someone he wasn't there too. And he was terrified every day of his life in the field and at home. He was miserable, and he couldn't share it with anyone, and that was a huge problem. But he was a very duty-driven and service-oriented man, and he had an important mission and a great family to go with it, but it was not aligned with the man who he really was at his core. So at the age of 47, he decided he could no longer continue living a lie, and he revealed the truth of who he was to his family and also to the executives at the CIA, his employer. Today, he brings that same sense of personal integrity to his work as an executive coach, a consultant, and an educator. And as he puts it, what he has done in his life is to center himself around value-based living and value-based leadership. His story resonates because we're constantly reinventing ourselves. Leaders have to adjust, adapt, and align themselves and their organizations with their values. And as a coach, he helps people and teams discover, decide, and do what matters. Many individuals, as you know, struggle with allowing others to understand who they really are, but very few people know the pain of that more than our guest. His name is Kenny Lehman. As he also points out, when he discovered coaching, he rediscovered his connection to a mission. His mission now is to embolden people to drop cover and to live their full personal and professional selves. He has an amazing story. His name is Kenny Lehman. He lives in the Washington, D.C. suburb of Ashburn, Virginia, near Dulles Airport. And he has been helping a lot of people in many different ways in his role as a coach. And he really has been coaching people long before he became an official certified coach. And he's going to tell us about that now. His name again, Kenny Lehman. Kenny, it's a really delight to have you with us. I know you may be a little nervous doing this on radio because you haven't done this before, but don't be. God, I remember when I started doing radio, I was scared to death too. Anyway, let's talk about this. Kenny, welcome. Nice to have you with us. How are you today? You doing okay?
Thank you, Doug. Yes, thank you. Nice to be with you.
Well, it's, you know, yours is an amazing, amazing story. Probably could be part of a movie, a book, which I think you might be thinking about yourself. So let's just get into the story. Number one, I must say, I could talk to you for a long time just about your career in the CIA. That would be amazing. But your family life and your personal life, that's equally interesting as well. So let me ask, get to a couple of gut questions here. Whether you're revealing the truth to your family or whether you're dropping cover with a potential intelligence asset, those people kind of have to redistribute everything they know about you. I can't help but wonder, what was your wife's reaction when you came out to her? How did she respond? And by the way, how long had you been married when you did divulge your other life, so to speak? How about that?
Well, that's a very good question, and it was a very interesting response, not one that I expected. So we were married in 1981, and I came out to her in 2003, about 2 months before I exited and went to Afghanistan for 90 days. So I volunteered for 90 days, and I stayed for 2 years. And the 2 years were kind of fortuitous because it gave both of us a chance to actually absorb. So what happened was, I determined that I was literally heading off to a country where and a situation where I could die, and I wanted her to know the real me. And dropping cover with her was actually very, very different from dropping cover with an intelligence asset, because it was much more frightening, and it required a lot more personal and solo preparation. Typically, Doug, when a CIA officer drops cover with a potential recruit, they only do it after significant coordination and counsel with colleagues and supervisors.
Yeah.
And I always had tremendous support from my CIA team. We would walk through the scenario together. We would consider potential reactions and blowback, positive or negative, or potential negative blowback, and what to do if things didn't go well. And I always felt ready for that. But when I came out to my wife, I did it alone, and I didn't coordinate it with anyone. I didn't have a team, and I had no idea how she would react. So in my mind, there was principally one likely scenario: that she would get extremely angry, that she would hate me for having lied to her for 23 years, and then leave me immediately with the children. And then I would have been forced to confess to the CIA and potentially lose my security clearance and my career, everything that was really dear to me. And that did not happen. Her response, Doug, was tears. We had a weekend alone when I did this. I had, of course, planned that part of it so we could have the privacy without the children. And both of us cried all weekend. And then she said, "Please stay." And we stayed together for 4 years, her supporting me and keeping my secret until our youngest graduated from high school.
Wow.
So it was a shock.
Yeah. You make it sound as though you eventually did separate from her, did you? After 4 years?
We made the decision that after the 4 years, when the children would be moving on in their own lives, going to college or already having left for college or work, that would be an appropriate time. And it was
right.
It was after the 4 years that I then dropped cover and came out to the children.
By the way, how did they respond to you at this point? They were 18 or so, somewhere in the, or older. How did they treat
you?
So
there's a six-year span. The youngest was 18, and the oldest was then, of course, you know, around 24. So
mm-hmm.
The reactions were very different. The boys, I mean, everyone was shocked. They were surprised. This time, when I came out to the children, I did it a little more closely to what I did when dropping cover to a CIA asset, and I had a team with me. I had coordinated it. I had 4 years with my ex-wife and with friends and with CIA to plan and to really consider. And none of them expected it, which kind of surprised me and surprised a number of my friends. They were like, "I don't know how they didn't know." So huge support to begin with, but then my daughter estranged herself from me for 8.5 years. And fortunately, that's behind us. But it was as if their life had just been flipped upside down. And
yeah.
Fortunately, now that I'm thinking about it, fortunately, all of them had, I would say, informal coaches in their life, in addition to me and my wife, that mm-hmm. really helped them gain some solid grounding and some clarity. And for that, I'm hugely grateful.
Well, it's an amazing part of the story you tell. But I asked you before, but just before we went on the air, how long have you actually been coaching? You've been coaching associates, friends, and others while you were in the CIA for a long time, I gather, right? Helping them in one way or another.
Yes. In the agency, team is very important. And I became a team leader very early on. And mostly I was overseas and most of the time in very difficult circumstances. And many of the new officers that would arrive in our locations overseas were dependent upon those of us who had either been there or had experience to coach them and bring them along and to help them gain an awareness and an understanding of priorities. The CIA, unlike many people's impression, is very, very small, especially the overseas and the clandestine element, and very few resources at times to handle a very, very large task. And that's where the coaching really came in, was to be able to help others, as you said in the introduction, decide what matters. What is this a priority number one? And I was always very, I think, driven and drawn to the personal side of the work, and not just the sources that we were developing to recruit, but also my colleagues. CIA is a tremendous family. That's something I always highlight with others. I still coach individuals who are considering government careers. And so the family element mattered. And it was almost like being in a very, very small group that didn't have anyone else. All of us overseas were undercover. We couldn't rely on sometimes even our families to understand and empathize with what we were going through. And that was a part of our coaching with one another. So that developed as I gained additional leadership responsibilities. And we didn't really have a formal coaching program, but we did have mentoring and we did have leadership responsibilities and expectations. But it was always there. It was always something that I naturally did. And sometimes I had good coaches myself and other times I didn't. But it's one of the things that helped lead me to an awareness of how much leadership matters.
Yeah, I can understand. You know, you make it sound interesting. You were abroad a lot, and I assume your wife wasn't with you when you were abroad. Am I right about that?
Actually, my family was with me every single assignment overseas, except for when I volunteered for Afghanistan, but we were overseas when I did that, and they were able to stay in place overseas while I was in Afghanistan. So all of my overseas time, except for brief, we call them TDYs, temporary duty, so
yeah.
They were with me abroad all the time, Doug.
Oh, well, then you obviously had some sort of a job or something you were doing over there. Would that be right? I mean, you
yes,
weren't a CIA
I,
running around undercover. You maybe you were a secretary. I don't know. You know, something. You had something were doing, correct?
Yes, yes. In fact, I was always assigned with the government, so I was attached to our government entity overseas, and that was my official role.
Right.
I was essentially a U.S. diplomat and functioning as a diplomat abroad.
I see. Okay, that makes sense. You know, you mentioned you're going to Afghanistan. I can't help but ask you, what are your feelings and what's your reaction to what has gone on in Afghanistan over the last 2 or 3 weeks?
I'll say it very bluntly. I believe it's a leadership failure, a leadership failure of the Afghans, a leadership failure of many of our U.S. leaders, a failure among various nations at the leadership level. We had a significant mission. I believed in the mission. Why else would I volunteer for 90 days and stay for 2 years. I believed in the mission. I believe in the Afghan people. In the 90s, the early 90s, we essentially left that region after the fall of the Soviet Union, and many Afghans believed that we had abandoned them, that we had partnered with them to defeat the Soviets, and we abandoned them. And once again, 20 years is a very, very long time for a war and for us to progress down this, I would say, dark path that no one really knew what the eventual outcome would be. And I don't disagree with the decision to exit. I just believe that there were many other options that I'm sure were considered, but my heart goes out to the individuals that are still there. I have many of the people that I hired and worked with directly who are on the ground and cannot exit. So it's been a very, very emotional several weeks. And what I'm doing now is trying to focus on what I can affect and to have to let go of the things I cannot affect. There is a potential huge guilt factor there for me in the sense of, am I doing my duty to my utmost? And I am having to do a lot of self-coaching to understand that, yes, I am a devoted individual. I am very, very devoted to these people. If there was more I could do, I would. And focus on what I can affect.
Boy, that's a good way to put it. I totally understand how you feel. Totally. Let's talk about your coaching. You left the CIA. You're no longer with the CIA now. You are a coach, a certified coach. Your shingle is hanging out, and you're there to help people. Who comes to you typically? What kind of people come to you for help, and what are they looking for? How would you answer that?
That's a very good question, and it has actually shifted and adjusted. The whole dynamic of my coaching has adjusted over the years. Typically, people come to me by word of mouth. I have a website, but that has generated very few actual clients and contracts. So I currently coach executive leaders, teams, and individuals who are emerging leaders. And I also coach individuals who are making decisions regarding the what next, in the sense of, do I want to retire? Do I want to begin a new career? Who am I, and who and what do I want to be? I also coach young individuals who are considering the career path. Do I want to focus on a passion? Do I want to focus on making money? Do I want to be in the corporate world? Do I want to be an educator? Do I want to work in the government? But primarily my focus is leadership and team alignment and team dynamics. Does that answer your question?
It does, to a degree. I'm wondering if, and it's very obvious, you have a great website, by the way. Kenny's website is kennylehman.com. Lehman is spelled L-E-A-H-M-A-N, kennylehman.com. I mean, it's obvious you were with the CIA. You spell that, you read that right at the very opening of your website. Do you think your background in the CIA and an undercover, CIA agent, is something that attracts a lot of people to come talk to you and see you?
I would have to answer that by saying yes and no. There are some people who there is, to be very, very honest and open, there is a wow factor, as you said, in opening up.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of people who would love to talk with me just about CIA, and or they're intrigued because not many people have direct engagement with someone who was undercover with CIA. So, yes, Doug, that is a factor. But the factor that most influences individuals is an element of what you said in your opening statement about how, by virtue of my profession, I needed to reinvent myself. I needed to adapt to those paradigms that were oftentimes thrust at me. I would move into a new country or a new leadership or a new team, and those things were out of my control, and I needed to adapt, and that is very applicable to individuals in the sense of you've done it. Maybe you can help me understand how I can do it.
Well, you do a little bit of everything. I mean, you are a coach, you're a consultant, you conduct webinars, workshops, and seminars with groups of people. When they come to you, I guess, you know, it's just amazing what they might be looking for. Is it people who want to change and readapt what they've been doing, and they're looking for help to understand what really should I be doing at this point in my life? They've already had one career, and maybe they're dissatisfied with it. They're not happy, and they come to you for help. I'm sure you have people in that category.
Yes, the primary reason that I am finding, the specific challenges that most people are facing that draws them to coaching, is there are three principal things which I could highlight. First of all is attention management. We often talk about time management, but attention management, where do I focus, is a principal element. Also, regaining balance, control, and contentment. Many individuals, especially leaders, executives, begin to feel out of control, out of balance, and very discontented. And then a true leader wants to know how to lead more effectively. And those are resounding themes. Now, when they come to me, most of the individuals who come to me, Doug, have been part of a contract and or their corporation or their government agency says to them, before you select a coach, you need to review multiple bios and you need to interview multiple coaches. So I have asked myself the same question that you just asked. Why did they come to me? How did you choose me, or what prompted you to choose me? So many of them have said that they are very, very attuned to that personal mantra that I have to discover, decide, and do what matters, because that is essential in life and at work. So when I speak with them about that in the interview or whatever, I also highlight that I don't just chit-chat. I am not about just talking for 30 minutes or an hour. I want to see tangible movement. My agenda is for the client to have significant self-discovery, movement, and change, positive change. And I do that with the client through tactics, techniques, and procedures, something I learned from the U.S. military. I call them TTPs. And by doing that, they realize that very simple techniques are the most effective way to tackle seemingly complex issues. And when you have a tactic or a tangible tool, you can utilize it and adapt it to the issue at hand. And that really resonates with people because they feel lost. They often feel that they are struggling to find a means to affect change or to lead individuals. So it's pretty clear cut when they make their decision that it's specific to the techniques and my methodology.
Interesting. You talk to people from all walks of life. I know a lot of government people, but men and women as well. Give me a success story, a typical success story of someone you've worked with. And by the way, when you work with someone as a coach, how long do you typically work with them? How has it worked out for you? I mean, is it that you don't do, you know, you can't change somebody in one meeting or two meetings. They go on for a couple of months, even longer? How about that?
That's a good question. It really depends on the client situation. So I have coached some individuals for 3 sessions and made a difference. And I am still coaching some individuals that I've been coaching with for 2 years, because their situation has adapted. So when I am on a contract, typically the contract stipulates the numbers of hours that we are authorized. So a contract, for example, Doug, may say, and you have 6 hours together, and or you have 20 hours together. My aim is to set expectations and objectives with an individual at the beginning and to have a clear path. I call it designing an alliance. Why are we together? What do we want to accomplish? A success story that still really resonates with me, and it has happened more than once, is I was coaching a woman. We were on about our sixth session together, and she began crying, and she said, I just have to tell you that I did not expect the impact that I am experiencing at work, but also at home. And just last night, my husband said to me, I am so pleased with the person you are becoming, with the newfound confidence, and the fact that you are so much more content. And he said, you talk about your coach, and I have to attribute it to your coach. And she was so grateful, and that was the best validation and the best feedback I could ever receive. And then within 2 years, she referred me to her husband, who was going through a tremendous transition. And I coached him for about 4 hours. And 4 years later, he's back again. And he said, I need you.
Very good. You know, I don't usually do that. Your website is a terrific website.
Thank you.
I've mentioned that point. It's Kenny Lehman, LEAHMAN.com. But you have some testimonials on there that are just rare. And I want to read a little bit of one of them. It's from one of your clients. And it goes on to say, that Kenny is the consummate coach is an understatement. He is simply a phenomenal human being, one whose ability to motivate others and provide for them the space in which they truly discover and fulfill their potential is unmatched. His gift of intuition is unparalleled. His measure of patience, compassion, and understanding is second to none. And his ability to balance this with discipline and accountability makes him all the more unique among a rare breed of truly gifted coaches. He goes on to just praise. And then he says that you're the perfect choice. You're the compass in your pocket, helping to guide you on your journey, wherever that journey may lead. I mean, that's a terrific comment, and there are many like that on your website. Kenny, it's just extraordinary talking to you. You have a truly remarkable story. I have to ask you, you know, after having come out to your wife and your family and everything, which kind of changed your life, how do you feel today? Are you the happy person now that you couldn't have been back then? How would you answer that?
You're really trying to make me emotional.
I don't mean to.
No, it's
okay.
But
how do you feel? Yeah.
It's an emotional journey, and I'm glad you asked the question because happy is a very relative term. We've got huge variations on that theme, don't we, with tons of personal and professional interpretations. But the issue, Doug, was there was so much right in my life with my ex-wife and my children and my amazing career, the opportunities that were granted to us. And in many ways, I was very happy then. But underlying it all was the cover-up and the constant deception. So I was extremely aware that I was lying. And I was terrified, as you said, that I would get caught and I'd lose everything and everyone. So the fear factor was wicked, and it was daily. But now I love not being undercover, Doug. And furthermore, I now have a wonderful husband.
And you're happy.
We're able to love and enjoy our children. We have a grandson. And I would say that the reason, the happiness factor for me now is I am completely me. I no longer live a cover. The fear is gone. And I want everyone to hear this. The absence of fear,
Kenny,
and dropping our cover.
We're running out of time, Kenny. I wish I had more. I got to tell you, thank you for being with us. Kenny Lehman has been our guest.
Thanks.
His website is kennylehman.com. Go there, folks. A fascinating story. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care and bye for now.